The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to The Punt. We're going to have a look at the big announcement, the England squad. It's almost like we have to start getting excited about the World Cup now, isn't it? Also, Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern here to have a look at the Europa League final this Wednesday evening. You both well?
Very well, thank you. Yeah.
The sad news, Derek, of course, is that you didn't win the bet of the week thing.
No, I know. What a weekend for Robbie winning that one, with Everton winning and then doubling her up by winning the Eurovision Song Contest representing Austria. Fantastic double for him.
What's worrying about that Austrian winner, Conchita, is how many different people she does actually look like.
I know.
Russell Brand, dead ringer. Everyone was saying she was the love child of Cheryl Cole and Ashley Cole. And no. She had a bit of a ring to her.
The love child of Barry Gibb and Ariel, the mermaid in Disney.
Hey, the sad thing is, I watched it. Well,
I watched all of it.
I taped it and then we watched it later on.
Yeah.
Well, so you can flick through, can't you miss half a word?
Yeah.
But as soon as she came on, I went, she's won it.
Yeah, I know. She was always so overcome by her triumph, it brought a lump to her throat.
Do you know what, Ron? Even last week, she was, I think she was around 30-1, and there was a massive gamble on her, after the rehearsals.
The thing is, she's quite a good singer, isn't she?
Yeah, belted it out.
She could get on Celebrity Big Brother next year.
Oh, She's thinking of there's betting around for her to enter that, enter Big Brother, Russia's thinking of entering Big Brother and when they finish entering Ukraine, I think. I was in the pub and I spoke to how many blokes? We'd all had a few. How many would say yes to Conchita? I've said that given a shave to be right in there, and the other half said he wouldn't even bother with a shave first.
Brilliant. Back to normal matters. Roy Hodgson's named his England squad chaps. There's many surprises in there, and it was leaked to all and sundry, really. It is a young looking squad though, Ron, whatever you say. I mean, Lampard and Gerrard retain their place in there. No Ashley Cole, as we know. I'll run through it very quickly if anyone hasn't seen it, been living under a rock. Fraser Forster, Ben Foster and Joe Hart are the keepers. Leighton Baines, Gary Cahill, Phil Jagielka, Glenn Johnson, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Luke Shaw are the defenders. Midfielders, Ross Barkley, Stephen Gerrard, Jordan Henderson, Adam Lallana, Frank Lampard, James Milner, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Raheem Sterling and Jack Wilshere. And the forwards, Ricky Lambert, Wayne Rooney, Daniel Sturridge and Danny Welbeck. 23-man squad. Obviously, the final 23 doesn't have to be until the start of June, Ron. Are you surprised at any of those? Or is there any that you would have left out? Any that you'd definitely brought?
I would think, I'm trying to think, Smalling's obviously been brought into the squad as a, if you like, the fact he can play centre-half or full-back. I think that's worked for him. Plus the fact that, Phil Jones is not a certainty with his injury. I think, I'm just looking at the standby players now. The only other ones that you might have said were, it's been up for debate, and Carroll or Lambert, take on it, I'd go with Lambert every time, and even looking at the goal he scored yesterday, I'm not so sure. I mean, he took it brilliantly, whatever the rights and wrongs of it, but in all fairness, he took his finish very well, and what I think he's a more cultured player than Carroll anyway. He's got more quality.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We're not talking like Lineker and
Beardsley.
Beardsley, or we're not talking about Shearer, people like that. We're talking about what we've got. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can give Hodgson loads of stick, and you say what's he doing, including Lampard and Smalling and Jones. But what else is there? There's not much. There's nothing he's really left out that demands a place in that squad.
No, and it's not that. And at the same time, Derek, it doesn't really get you going either, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. But at least this time, I think a few people, if you'd have seen the Rios and the John Terrys and all that, I thought, oh God, here we go again. At least there's a few there that might just get you going. The Sterlings, the Lallanas, the Luke Shaw, who I think could be absolutely anything. That guy.
Yeah.
So there is something. I don't think I don't think England will get out of the group, but I'm actually more looking forward to England, watching England this time than any other World Cup, just because of the emphasis on youth.
If you've been listening to Derek for a long time, that's a big surprise.
We treat that optimistically, but
well, I mean,
I think we've had World Cup squads that we could have gone with more optimism, but I think it's with interest more than optimism.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Whether somebody that's gone there as a virtually unknown. Don't forget when Platt went to the 1990 World Cup, he was well down the pecking order, and then Robson gets injured, and he gets his opportunity and takes it.
Well, that's right. There's always someone comes from. In 1966, Peters came from nowhere, didn't he, Mark? Yeah. Peters. Darius Purcell in 2002 made the squad from nowhere, and then of course Theo Walcott in 2006 came out of school to the World Cup squad. Yeah. I think Luke Shaw could be. I don't think he'll get. The thing is, Ron, I don't think he'll get a game. Will he? Baines will probably be first.
Well, you never know. Baines will be first choice, but he only needs an injury or something like that. And all of a sudden he's in the mixer.
He's asked Roy Hodgson to provide bunk beds just at the World Cup.
Yeah. And what about the interest in the midfield? I mean, there's odds kicking around for players to start at the first match. There's a lot of things to happen before then. I was interested. A lot of people, the bookies earlier on, Ron, were putting Wilshere at quite a short price to start. He's played 30 minutes of Premier League football, and that was at the weekend, of course. We don't know how he's responded to that, and we don't know how fit he'll be come the first game. Would it be likely he plays, or would you think the younger ones will get a go?
Well, they've got the preliminary games to come, haven't they?
Yeah, got a few.
It'd be interesting, and I think what he does, it'll all depend what he does in training. I mean, let's look at who we think are going to be the certs. Everybody fit. The goalkeeper picks himself hard, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm.
I think your back four almost picks itself with everybody fit. I think you've got Johnson, Jagielka, Cahill and Baines.
Yeah.
So that's five of them sorted. Gerrard will get the insurance job in the middle of midfield. Mm-hmm. I think, particularly against Italy, I think he'll have Milner on one of the sides, on one of the flanks. And it's a question then. Rooney's obviously going to be in the side. Whether he starts with Rooney or goes with Rooney and Sturridge.
Yeah,
plays the five in midfield.
Yeah.
Because the important thing normally in the first game is not so much winning it, that's brilliant if you do, but not getting beaten.
Mm. And in that heat and all the rest of what we've been told about.
So he may very well pick Rooney to play on his own up front.
Yeah.
So then you put five in midfield. And if he's got five in midfield, it's a safe bet. If Wilshere's fit, he'll be one of them.
Yeah. So you go.
I mean, he might go Wilshere and Sterling, or Wilshere and Barclay, to support a front player.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking, Ron. Yeah. I don't think he'll play Rooney and Sturridge to start against Italy. I think he'll just play Rooney, but he'll have Sterling in.
You could have Sturridge on one side where Sterling would normally go. And you could always change it mid-match, I suppose, couldn't you? You could have two up front if you needed to. So you're saying a five-man midfield. You're saying Gerrard, Wilshere, Milner, Sterling, and then Henderson,
and possibly Barkley.
Right, okay. No start for Lampard, then, you would have thought.
No, I don't think he'll start Lampard and Gerrard in the same team.
No.
I think he's taken Lampard because he would be a very good. And looking at some of the standby players, he's better than the standby players anyway.
I'm better than some of those standby players. That's he's having a laugh.
Peter Davenport's not on the standby. I'm not having that.
But you would say that. He can come on and have an impact. He can come on in the last 20 minutes of a game when the game's stretched and there's spaces. And if there's an upper, and also he can take a penalty. There's no real. The only real surprise for me out the lot is Ashley Cole and Shaw.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a contentious point. I'm just saying if there is a surprise.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
What are the group prices, Lee, anyway?
I was just about to ask you about that. We've got all sorts of prices on England's group qualification, etc. So stage of elimination, exact group points. You've got under and over group points, under and over group goals. We've also got not to win a group match for England, which is 4-1, and you can name the exact group points. So plenty there. Then in the actual the prices for the group itself, Italy are 11-8, Uruguay are 7-4, England are 9-4, and you can name your price for Costa Rica. They're actually 66-1, but
you know what I'd go for now. If you said to me at this moment in time, what do you think they'll get? I would have said they'll do well to get 5 points.
Yeah. You can see form. You can see them drawing with Italy in that first game, couldn't you, Ron?
I think out of all the results, that is the one, because knowing the Italian mentality as well, you know, they'll be very happy to go into the first game and come out all square.
It could go down to goal difference, Derek, this, couldn't it? If you could see Italy, Uruguay and England all drawing with each other and then all beating Costa Rica, and whoever beats them best goes
through. By the way, that's not a given.
No, it's not at all.
Costa Rica's not a given,
no,
by the way.
No, people saying that, oh, England will batter them, as if they will. We don't batter anyone, do we? Most people think Uruguay will beat us as well. Is that what you're going down the road of, Ron? Really, you're saying that?
No, I think we might draw the two big games, and I think we might sneak something against Costa Rica.
Right.
It's pretty much what happened in the last World Cup, wasn't it? Drawing against Algeria, USA, and then, well, actually the Sweden game was the hardest of the lot, it seemed.
So exactly 5 points for England in the group is 8-1.
I wouldn't bet against that.
Yeah. You can also bet on how many goals there'll be, like I said. Under 4.5 goals is 5-6. Over 4.5 is... So 4 or under is 5-6. 5 or more is 5-6 as well. They tend to take it in turns with... tournaments like this, they score loads and they score hardly any, then they score loads and they score hardly any. So take your pick on that, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a high scoring group, that one, for me, really.
No, it's interestingly, isn't it, that the third favourites to win the group, so they're rated inferior to Italy and Uruguay, and yet their odds against to go out and at the group stage 11-10 to go out at the group stage.
It's strange, isn't it? It's hard to see. I mean, you know, it's a tough group to get out of, especially.
Only the top two go through.
There's not
like a best place.
No. Just the top two.
So, interesting one. Anyway, all those markets will be there for ages. You can also look at every single group and every single team in the World Cup to qualify and the group points and all the rest of it. So if you're already getting a little bit excited after the announcement of the squad, then check out the World Cup pages on the William Hill website. The Europa League is on Wednesday night, 7:45 in Torino, where Sevilla play Benfica. Sevilla fifth in La Liga, and Benfica romped the Portuguese division in the end. The only thing really stopping Benfica winning is this curse that I've been reading about, Ron, where they were cursed by a previous manager. I think it was 1962, wasn't it? Last man to win the European Cup, got sacked and cursed the club. They've been in 7 European finals since and lost them all, amazingly enough. When you look at their Europa League form this year, though, it's just been... I mean, since losing to Chelsea in the final, they've not lost a game. Drew 2-2 at home to Tottenham and drew 0-0 in this stadium, actually, against Juve. Sevilla can't boast the same kind of form. I mean, despite getting this far, they've been defeated a few times. They had to go through on penalties against Real Betis and got beat 3-1 in Valencia, scoring the late goal that got them this far. Benfica should win this, shouldn't they?
They're the form team. They've got better players. They've had a far better season. The only thing about Sevilla, they've got a pedigree in this competition.
Yeah, they have.
Didn't they win it twice with Ramos, the manager there?
Yeah, they have.
One day Ramos, I think.
You're a better team then, though, Ron, weren't they? They're also now in the Spanish league.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you can see against Benfica is the curse.
The curse. You can't bet on that, can you? I mean, you know, I've bet on some stupid reasons before, but I'm struggling to bet on a curse. Well, you thought they'd have won it last year, maybe.
Well, it ain't done bad up to yet.
No,
but they have played. I mean, look at some of the finals they've been in. They've met better teams than Sevilla. I mean, Sevilla should have been out at least twice this. I mean, that last goal by the skin of the teeth in the last game, and they were poor in that second. Like, I watched that game, very, very poor. And you know, they've lost about 15 games or something in the Spanish League this season. Okay, you know, you're meeting two of the top teams in Europe, so there's four gone. But even so, I actually think there's a massive gulf in clash, you know, here between Benfica. They've lost 2 games all season. They've knocked out Juventus, who've just walked away with the Italian League. They should have qualified for the next stage, the knockout stage of the Champions League, but they only went out on their goal difference. You know, they were unlucky not to qualify there, and they've done nothing wrong since. I think they're absolute certainties here, and a 5-4. There's one tennis bet tomorrow, Tuesday, by the way. It's Santiago Giraldo to beat Marin Cilic in Rome. That's a certainty. And I'll double up on Benfica in this one. I think that's a certainty as well.
So what price is Giraldo? Can you
evens.
Evens?
Evens,
wow. I like even money certainties.
Yeah, I love that one.
Not often we get a tennis bet on here. 15-8 Sevilla, the draw 23-10 Benfica 5-4. You probably wouldn't get that price if it wasn't a final, to be fair, Ron. Are you on the same
wavelength as Derek? I'd go end of the curse.
Yeah, the end of the curse, yeah. Rodrigo Moreno to score and Benfica to win's priced up at 5-1, by the way. So it might be worth a little look.
This year, we got the figures there. He seems to weigh in plenty.
Yeah, I was just about to tell you, actually.
While you're looking at that, Lee, but you know, just further to what Benfica's had chances, Sevilla have conceded 51 goals in the league this season, and Benfica have conceded 18. I know that they're meeting, you know, lesser teams, but even so, I mean, that's a massive difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It looks a lot, doesn't it? He's only got 11 in the league, but weighed in the... got two in the game against AZ when they won 2-0 league, scored in the top... The win at White Hart Lane as well in the Europa League, and I think he picked up a couple of goals earlier in the season as well. You wouldn't call him prolific, but...
No.
He's scored enough, to be fair. Yeah. The Brazilian player. But it might be worth it. I think that'll probably attract a few people in that 5-1 for him to score.
Seems okay.
Yeah. Rakitic to score and Sevilla to win 6-1. So, you know, you could, that just weighs it up, the different prices there. Cardoso is 6-5 to score at any time in this one.
I love what he always seems to score. You know, when you watch a Benfica game on telly, he always seems to pop up, doesn't he? Yeah. Normally with a pen.
Finally, Ron, we were talking about this the other week. There's nothing for us to preview, but just a quick word about the final weekend in La Liga. We mentioned Sevilla. Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, 5 p.m. on Saturday. Unbelievable game. They win that, Barcelona, they win the title. Incredible.
I lost a little bit of track over there in the last day or so. Is that... disregarding what...
No, that's it, it's all over, but it all goes down to that last game, and if they win,
what
Barcelona, on head-to-head, not on goal difference, on head-to-head.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah. We were saying, you know, it'd be great if the Premier League goes down to the last day. That's kind of like Liverpool-Arsenal way back when, isn't it, Derek?
Yeah. Last week, Barcelona were out of it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, not out of it, but they were third favourites.
Atletico Madrid only drew again, and Real Madrid lost at the weekend, so... Yeah. Back at banging it again.
Hey, what three results they've had since the qualifier.
I know, incredible.
They've taken 2 points, haven't they, out of the three games?
Yeah, unbelievable. What a game. I mean, it's just talk about testing your metal. 5 p.m. Our time on Saturday night.
Well, funnily enough, Atletico Madrid have done quite well, haven't they, against Barca this year?
Yes, they have, yeah.
So when you said on the head-to-head... You surprised me a little bit because
actually that's a good point, that Ron, because every game I get between them seems to be drawn.
I thought they'd drawn four. And didn't they put them out the European Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, it must be.
They drew 0-0. So if they win, they obviously got a better head-to-head.
Oh, of course,
They drew 0-0 at Atletico. If Barcelona win, then that's it as well. It's like the double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is,
Barcelona win, sorry. What happens if they draw?
Madrid, Atletico win it.
Atletico win it, don't they?
89-86 it is, yeah. So Barca just have to win.
I would...
Wow.
Interesting.
That's changed the picture since.
Fascinating.
But they do have a go. They've got two results to play for, haven't they, Atletico?
Yeah. 3-1 to win it, 11-4 the draw, 5-6 the price for
And what Barca. Price? What price? Don't forget about the match price. What about the title price?
The price for Barcelona 5-6, Atletico are even, so Barca are the favourites. Even money with a draw, and effectively you're back in the that's the +1, isn't it, Derek?
Yeah.
So that's the draw and the win for Atletico. Yeah, amazing end to the season. If you're not a fan of La Liga, you just hear about it from afar. It's probably worth tuning in for that one at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Thank you very much, chaps. We'll speak before the FA Cup final, which is also on Saturday.
Yeah, at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock, so probably watch that.
I'll be watching.
Yeah, split screen.
it might be the first time betting on it. Are they both on? Oh no, it's on Sky, isn't it?
Well, he will be.
No, the FA Cup's not on Sky.
The ITV, will it?
Of course,
ITV,
I'll tell you what, they might get a bigger audience.
probably will. Ron. Thanks for your time, chaps.
Okay.
Speak to you soon.
See you later.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.